Can you be religious even if you're secular? And how does religion cause brain damage? We'll talk about these topics on this week's episode of the Faith by Reason podcast. Welcome to the podcast. The website behind it all is faithbyreason.net. There you will find tons of information, categories, and for the blog, and you'll find the podcast. Ton of great information there, so please check it out. And you can also subscribe to the blog and the podcast there. Please do so. So I want to start by apologizing for the lateness of this podcast. I've been getting a little off schedule because this is a really busy time of year for me. And so probably for the next couple months, at least through August, it's going to be really hectic, but I'm going to do my best to stay on schedule as much as I possibly can. So I just ask that you bear with me and know that I definitely appreciate it. The topic obviously is going to be religion. We've been talking about religion the past couple episodes, and in last week's episode, or maybe about a week and a half ago, in that episode, I kind of gave a definition of religion and talked about how it's the most damaging form of justification. And of course, again, just to do a recap of a couple episodes ago, whenever we do something wrong, we feel guilty, and our subconscious makes us feel guilty, and we need some type of justification. And there are a few ways to justify it. To get justification, there's, you know, the right way, which is God's way, and there's the wrong way, which is man's way. We talked about those. Go back a couple episodes and check that out. And in the last episode, we talked about the worst form of justification, which is religion. And the reason it's the worst form is because you think it's from God. You think you're doing justification God's way, when in fact you're fooling yourself, because you're really doing justification man's way, which is the wrong way. So obviously a very controversial topic. Whenever you talk about religion in any form, you are going to get people who get upset with you. And there were people who got upset with me. I haven't had this many angry emails and comments here and there since I did the series on evolution. And it makes sense, because when I did the series on evolution, I got a lot of atheists and unbelievers upset with me because I was messing with their religion. And yes, evolution is religion because it's based on faith. You can go back and look at the evolution stuff. I don't want to go over that again. But I also, so in the last episode, I started really messing with the religion of people who do believe in the supernatural. And so they kind of got on me with that, and they talked about how my definition was wrong and things like that, which it isn't. I gave my definition. I gave the rationale behind it. You can disagree with it, but you can't say it's illogical. You just don't happen to like it. And, you know, so be it. You know, no one's going to like everything you do, and that's fine. So I'm not going to really address anyone who any of the comments that didn't like my definition, unless they can give me a better one. And I haven't seen one yet. And if you have a better definition, one that's superior to mine, that's non-contradictory, please give it. I'll be happy to listen to it, but I haven't gotten it so far. What I do want to recognize and acknowledge is a couple of people actually sent me a verse from the book of James. I think it's James 1:23. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at it now. It's actually James 1:27. And that is this. It says, pure and undefiled religion before God and the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And people, a few folks sent that verse to me saying, hey, you said that God doesn't like religion, that God hates religion. But here, right here in the book, in the Bible, in James 1:27, God clearly talks about religion that is good, that he would like, that's pure and undefiled before him. And yeah, God does say that in here in this verse, but it doesn't contradict what I said at all. It actually really verifies it and validates it, because the Bible does mention religion, especially in the New Testament. You have Paul, who talked about his religion when he was a Pharisee. And again, the Pharisees were the religious people, and they were not the good people. They were the bad guys. They were the only people that Jesus ever had a problem with when he was on earth, was the Pharisees. And the Pharisees were religious. And Paul, being a former Pharisee, knew that, and he called it religion. And religion, again, as I defined it, and as I think is the correct and logical and non-contradictory definition, is things that you do on your own outside of God's commandments to get closer to God. So basically trying to get closer to God in a way that God doesn't condone or recommend, or in some cases is antithetical to what God wants. That's what religion is. So this verse, James 1:27, what God is saying is that the only way you can get to me on your own outside of my commandments would be to visit orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted, unblemished from the world. What does that mean? Well, visiting orphans and widows in their trouble is love. And what is love? We defined love several podcasts ago. Love is giving without without the expectation of getting anything in return. And if you are visiting orphans and widows, well, these are people, especially in the time the Bible, this verse was written in the first century, these are people who were destitute. They had no way of paying you back for any of your kindness. So if you visit orphans and widows, you have no choice but to be loving, because there is no way they can pay it back. You will not get what you give back to them. So if you do that, you can be sure that you will have pure love, because you are visiting people and doing kindness to people who have no means of giving back to you. So you will be loving. There's no way for your human error to get in there. So if you did that on your own, just as your religious act, that would be pure before God. So it's being completely loving. And now in this day and age, you have to find someone who, again, was so destitute, they could not give back anything you gave to them. And secondly, keep yourself unspotted from the world, which basically means being completely right and just 100% of the time. So if you look at it, God says the only way your religion, your personal acts that, you know, are outside of what I've commanded you to do, the only things you can do outside of what I've told you is to be 100% loving and 100% right and 100% just. You have to be always and completely loving, always and completely right, always and completely just. And if you are those things on your own, then you can be like God. And that echoes what I said a few podcasts ago when I talked about when I was on the series of How to Be Right, that technically it's technically possible for us to be like God and always be right, but we'd have to be 100% right, 100% just, and 100% loving. And that's what God is saying in James 1:27. Your religion, your man-made actions, your man-defined actions, in order to be like me, you'd have to be always and completely loving, always and completely right, always and completely just. Problem is, that's not possible for us. Give it a try. Let me know how that goes. Try doing it for one day. You'll fail. And I think God knows that, which is why God put it here. So he's really coming out against religion, saying the only way you can be religious is to be always and completely right and just and loving, and you can't be. So again, that verse does not really take away from anything I said in the last podcast. So the other objection I got, which I'm going to spend some more time talking about, is the idea that everyone is religious, whether you believe in the supernatural or not. And I got a couple of my atheist listeners who you know, they basically said, hey, you know, I'm an atheist. Of course they did, because that's what atheists do. They tell you they're atheists. That's the first word out of their mouth. So, you know, I'm an atheist and I'm not religious. So, you know, what you said is wrong. Not true, because again, the definition of religion is not belief in the supernatural or in some kind of deity. Being religious is you trying to get to God on your own, outside of God's commandments. And atheists and secularists all do that. And you may say, how can you do that if they don't believe in God? Well, they do believe in God. Why? Because they believe in right and just. Everyone believes in righteousness and justice. Everyone wants to be right or just, or everyone at least strives to be what in their mind is right and just, which means they are trying to get to God, even if they don't believe in the supernatural. Now, of course, you have your regular supernatural religions that believe in the supernatural. You have, you know, Hinduism and Islam, and, you know, just you can have rote spirituality, people who, you know, worship the universe or just, you know, worship nature or whatnot. There are tons of them. You know, they have the ancient religions, you have the current religions, you have there's no shortage of religions that believe in the supernatural. And what they're trying to do is get closer to what they consider God, even though it's not the true God of the Bible. But since they're trying to do that and whatever they're doing is outside of the Bible, so that it makes it religion, because what all of their, you know, praying five times and facing Mecca or doing whatever your particular supernatural religion tells you to do, if it's outside of the word of God, it is religious because it's man-made. It was invented by some man or group of men and you're following it. So you're religious, and that's fine. I think we can all acknowledge that. But you can still be secular and be religious. Why? Because no matter what your mindset is regarding the supernatural, you're still going to be doing things to improve your life, to get to where you think you should be in order to be the best person you can be or support the best cause you think of that's going to be the right cause. For example, a lot of people believe in global warming / climate change. They keep changing the name because Well, the global warming thing didn't really work out because the Earth started cooling not too long ago, and so they had to stop calling it global warming. They had to change it to climate change to kind of cover all their bases. So no matter what happens with the Earth's temperature, as long as it fluctuates some way, they can still say the climate's changing because we're driving SUVs. And not to get off on too much of a tangent, but I just find the whole thing really silly. The idea that man is making the climate different when the Earth has warmed and cooled dramatically over the centuries and millennia without any input from man whatsoever. I mean, you had the Ice Age, you know, however many thousands of years ago, where obviously there were massive sheets of ice covering most of the Earth, meaning the Earth's climate got considerably cooler for a while. And then, of course, most of that ice melted because, you know, we're not living on ice floes now. So it melted, which means the Earth's temperature climate warmed over a significant period of time. So, and there were no SUVs back then. In fact, our current climate is us coming out of the era called the Little Ice Age. It called the Little Ice Age because it wasn't as big as the Big Ice Age. This was about 500 years ago in the Middle Ages. It peaked about 500 years ago. It got really cold. I mean, not as cold as the Great Ice Age, but it got cold enough to cause, you know, a lot of famines throughout Europe and places like that. It's all in the history books. And then, like I said, the coldness peaked at about 500 years ago, and then it started warming up, and the Little Ice Age gradually ended. In fact, our climate scientists tell us that it ended right around the 1970s, and then it started cooling down. So the Little Ice Age peaked. It was the coldest 500 years ago. It gradually started warming up more and more, and it peaked in the 1970s. And then things started getting cooler. So why did global warming start? Why did that idea come up? Well, because we've only been keeping accurate climate records for the past 200 years. Why? Because we haven't had the technology until the last 200 years. So if you look at the last 200 years and you look at the climate as a whole, yes, it's been getting warmer. Why? Because those last 200 years have been us coming out of the Little Ice Age. And so if you look at a graph of the last 200 years, you'll see the temperature rising. And so you're like, oh my God, it's global warming. It must be because of men, because 200 years ago is when we started in industry. So we're causing it. Except, again, it was a normal flow. The Earth warms and cools. And now we're starting the beginning of a cooling phase in the 70s. And it's starting to gradually cool down. And that's what's embarrassing to the proponents of global warming. And so they have to stop calling it global warming and start calling it climate change. And of course, again, it's because we're driving SUVs and running coal plants, which, again, I'm not saying that the climate isn't changing. Of course it is. The Earth's climate changes constantly over the centuries and millennia. The question is it because of man's actions? And I think that's a pretty spurious conclusion to take. We don't have enough data. Yeah, we've only been industrialized for a couple hundred years, and the Earth has been around for however, I'm not going to get into the debate of the age of the Earth, I did that a long time ago, but it's been around for thousands, perhaps millions of years. And so how can you take 200 years of data and extrapolate that back to thousands, 10,000 or millions of years, depending on your age of the Earth position? It doesn't make any sense. It's ludicrous. It's unscientific. Okay, end of tangent. The point is that there are a lot of people who are fighting climate change, but why are they fighting it? Because they think it's right and just. They think it's the right thing to do, and they think it's the just thing to do. So what are they doing? They're trying to get closer to God. Everyone believes in God because everyone believes in right and just. And anything you try to do to be more right and just outside of God's commandments is religion. So if you are trying to improve the climate because you think it's the right and just thing to do, that's your religion. And if you speak to anyone who is fervent about climate change, you will see that they will act as religious as the most red-faced Alabama preacher you can possibly find. They will curse you and call you all kinds of names if you disagree with them. But if you do agree with them, then you're great and you're part of the fellowship. And you can look at your political parties. That's another great thing, a great example, rather. Not a great thing, just a great example of religion. People believe that supporting either the Democrats or the Republicans or the Libertarians or whoever is going to make our country better. They think it's the right and just thing to do, that the ideology of the Democrats and the left is the right way to do things. It's the most fair and just way for people to, you know, take care of the poor and be all the socialism things that people on the left believe in. They think that's right and just. If you're political like that, then that's your religion. And if you, on the other hand, if you're on the conservative Republican side and you believe in, no, the best thing, the right and fair thing to do is, you know, capitalism and laissez-faire, and, you know, just give people the means to come up on their own. Don't subsidize them. Let them, you know, fail or succeed on their own. Blah blah blah. If that is what you believe is going to make the world, the country, a better place, and you give your money to it, and you give your time, and you devote your energy to it, that is your religion, and it's completely secular. But it's a religion because you are trying on your own, through your own efforts, to be right and just, or support a cause, a position, a philosophy that you believe is right and just. And again, if you talk to anyone who is passionate about their politics, and they will basically act like the most fervently religious, church-going folk you've ever seen in your life. You know this. I'm sure you have friends, if not you yourself, who are highly political, and you will find that if you do not agree with them, then there's something wrong with you, then you are evil. But if you do agree with them, then you're the good guys. That's totally religious. That's totally pride. And so you can be religious and absolutely be secular. But the problem with secular-based religions is the same problem as the supernatural-based religions, is because you are trying to be like God, get closer to God in a way that God did not command and does not advocate, which means you're trying to get to God in a way that is outside of God's will, and which means you can't get to God that way. You can, if you are a supernatural religious person, you're never going to get to God by being religious. And if you are a secular religious person, you're never going to make the world or your life or your family or your community right and just 100%, always and completely right and just by your own efforts, because the only way to be always and completely right and just is the way that God put in order, the way God has put in place through his plan. And if you're outside of his plan to be right and just, you will never be right and just. It's futility. And you continuing to do it is getting you further and further away from God, because the further you go down that road, the further you are getting away from what God really wants you to be. And because you think you're doing the right thing, anytime anyone tells you that, hey, you know, maybe you should consider another way to get that right jesting you want, then you will, you know, you'll curse them, you'll condemn them, because you have to be right, because again, that's your religion. You're doing the right thing, and no one can tell you any different, and that is what causes brain damage. So let's expound on that, because that's really the second part of this podcast, is talking about how religion, all religions, secular and supernatural, cause brain damage. And if you've been listening to the past few podcasts, I think you kind of have an idea of how that works. Basically, as we talked about a couple podcasts ago, when you do something wrong, which is the motivation for all of us seeking religion, you need that justification. And when you choose religion as your justification, it's going to damage your brain. And because if you were to do it the right way, if you were to seek the right justification, which we call the justification of God, which is making God's atonement, the atonement that God advocates for when you do wrong, which is basically, you know, balancing those scales, which is, you know, doing something equivalent to balance all things that went wrong, like, you know, apologizing. We gave that example a couple of podcasts ago. If you do something wrong to someone, then you apologize for it. You took something away from them. You unbalance the scales. And how do you balance it? By giving of yourself, by the way, which is love. So by being loving, by giving back to the person you wronged, then that's part of God's justification. When you do it that way, then the guilt goes away. The guilt is a negative feeling from your subconscious. And when you justify, when you do the right justification, the justification of God, your subconscious responds by giving you positive feedback, basically in your brain chemistry. And as we all know, hopefully from our biology classes, our brains work by electrochemical reactions. So the guilt is a negative electrochemical reaction. And when we resolve the guilt the right way, we get a positive electrochemical reaction, which makes us feel good, and we're back in balance and off we go. The problem with religion is that we think we are doing the right thing. We think we're balancing the scales, but we really aren't. So that guilt keeps coming back to us. And the right thing to do would be to say, okay, I guess I didn't do it right. Let me find the right form of justification, the justification of God. But if you're religious, you think you're already doing justification of God. But your subconscious knows you're not. So when your subconscious makes you continue to feel that guilt, instead of turning away from what you were doing, you double down. You become more religious. You said, okay, I did my religious thing. I held my beads, I did my prayers, I shouted for joy in church, or I gave some money to the right charity, or I voted and I supported my political party. Why do I still feel guilty? Well, I must not have done it enough. I need to pray harder to Mary, or I need to give more to the church, or I need to dress better this Sunday, or I need to, to go door to door knocking on folks' doors to tell them about this great political candidate. You're going to keep doing whatever your religion is harder and harder in order to make that guilt go away. And so you're fighting with your subconscious. But the problem is, the thing is, we can actually rewire our brain. There is a book called The Brain That Changes Itself, and I'll put a link to it in the show notes. But that book, the premise of that book is that our conscious mind can, if we keep beating down on our subconscious, eventually we can rewire our brain. And in this case, we're rewiring it by damaging it. We will get our subconscious to, if we keep going, responding with religion over and over again to when we have guilt, eventually our subconscious will just give up and say, okay, you got it. I'm going to now release those feel-good chemicals when you perform religion. And once we get to that place, you've basically damaged your brain. You've damaged that that mental feedback loop, that brain chemistry that's supposed to only reward you when you do the right thing. Now it's rewarding you when you're doing religion, which is the wrong thing and it's prideful. But when you get to that point, when your brain is that damaged, you're doing the justification of man, you're in pride, you're being religious, and your brain is now rewarding you as if you had done justification of God. And not only is your brain completely damaged because your feedback loop is completely off. So it's bad enough physically, but it's even worse spiritually, because now there's really no convincing you that you're on the wrong path. Because not only do you think you're doing the right thing, you're doing the godly thing, you're doing the right and just thing, but now your brain is giving you the rewards that it would reserve for you actually doing God's justification. So you're getting the rewards of doing God's justification when you're actually doing man's justification. You're getting rewarded for doing the wrong thing with the reward you would be getting if you did the right thing. And it just keeps growing and feeding on itself until it gets to the point where it's almost impossible for you to ever come back to God. And that's why I will go back to that quote I used in the Bible verse, rather, I used in the last podcast in Matthew chapter 7, when these religious people will be standing before Christ after their death and before the judgment seat of Christ. And they're saying, Lord, didn't we do all these great religious acts in your name? Why are you condemning us? And Jesus will look at them and say, depart from me. I never knew you. They are so far gone, so religiously brain damaged that they thought they had a make-believe relationship with Jesus. And Jesus said, I don't even know who you are. I never knew you. I don't know who you thought you were worshiping. I don't know who you thought you were giving your time and energy and love to, but it wasn't me, because you were not doing my commandments. And the commandments of Christ are love. That's why we do them. We don't do the commandments of Christ out of obligation. We do them out of love, because we've already been saved. Once you're saved, you're saved. You basically punched your ticket to heaven. You've taken advantage of the provision that God gave us to be saved and to be with him. And anything else we do on this earth, when we obey God's commandments, we love him. And Jesus said himself, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He's very clear that keeping his commandments are showing you have love with him, which means you have love for him. And so you're in fellowship with him. You know him because you're keeping his commandments. You're keeping the commandments of God, and you're in fellowship with him. And when you die, or when you're raptured, or whichever, we'll talk about the rapture way down the road, when you stand before God, he will say, welcome, because good and faithful servant, you well done, you're in fellowship, you know him. But then there are other people who are doing commandments that are not from God. They are commandments that they made up on their own or got from their local religious temple or shack or wherever they go, or whatever organization they believe is right and just. And they believe that they're in the right relationship and the right fellowship, but they are not. And Jesus will say, depart from me. I never knew you. And that will be a truly, truly tragic situation. Unimaginably tragic. I can't imagine a worse situation than thinking you've been serving God all your life and to find out you haven't been. And that is why religion is so dangerous. That's why religion is the worst form of justification, because the more you do it, you are virtually guaranteeing that you will spend eternity away from God while you have tragically fooled yourself into thinking that you are getting closer to Him. And again, that's why I hate religion so much, and that's why I keep pounding on it, and I will continue to do so in the next podcast. Speaking of which, we're going to wrap this podcast up and talk a little bit about what we're going to cover in the next podcast. In the next podcast, we're going to wrap up this series on religion by kind of talking about a few of the things at the end of this podcast talking about, which are the commandments of God. And whenever you say, whatever I say, that Christianity is not religious, that God hates religion, people always bring up, well, you know, what about all the laws and commandments in the Bible? You know, you've got Leviticus and Deuteronomy, which is just wall to wall, you know, laws and really odd ceremonial things. You know, don't eat shellfish, and you have to treat your, if you're a woman, you have to, when you're on your cycle, you have to do certain things. You're unclean, you have your clean and unclean animals to eat. Here's how you sacrifice in the temple. And they're very, very elaborate things that they go over. And even in the New Testament, you know, Jesus gives tons of commandments. In Matthew 5, you have the Beatitudes, where he gives blessings to certain things you do, and he tells you not to do other things. So the Bible is full of things that seem like they're religious. And when I say to people that, you know, Christianity is not religion, they say, well, what about all this stuff? Well, we're going to talk about all that stuff in the next podcast and show why all the commandments of God are not religious. And there's a very, very specific reason why, not just because they are commandments from God, but because they are not just ceremonially things that God wants you to do to make himself feel better. God didn't tell the children of Israel to sacrifice animals to him because he doesn't like animals, or because he likes the smell of burnt animals. There were specific reasons that were not for God's sake. They were for man's sake. The commandments that God gave in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy, throughout the Bible, were not because, you know, God's just this dictator on high who wants you to be a monkey performing tricks for him to make, you know, for his amusement. No, they were not for his. He doesn't need amusement from us. He doesn't need sacrificed animals. He doesn't need all this stuff from us. The things that God commands were not for his benefit. They were for our benefit. And we're going to talk about why that is in the next podcast. So, thanks for listening. I appreciate it. Again, sorry that this podcast is coming out a bit late. I will do my best over the next couple months to be on time. Please subscribe to the podcast. Just write into the area on the right margin. Put your email in there and you'll get the podcast as soon as they come out. Follow me on social media, and I will talk to you next week, hopefully.